From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
Jeremy Roach leaving Duke. This is my context. They're going to miss him dearly. There's some I don't know if that's context. That might not be the right word. There's some meaning behind it. They're going to miss him dearly. Now, he put his name into the NBA draft and into the portal, so he's maintaining his eligibility. But to me, when you announce it the way he announced it, what you're saying is, I'm not going back to Duke. Right? We talked, Caleb Love also put his name into the draft, but all he said was, I'm also maintaining my college eligibility. He did not say, and I'm going into the portal. He just said, and I might come back to college. Jeremy Roach said, I am putting my name into the NBA draft, and I am also entering the portal. He's gone. And he plays a role that I think Duke needs. As Dennis pointed out to me earlier today, he is the last guy from the Coach K era.
Yeah.
The last guy recruited by K.
Crazy to think about. Last guy that played under K.
That's still going on right now. Last guy that played for Coach K that was still a contributor for Duke. If you're keeping track, that means R.J. Davis was the last guy of the Roy Williams era, if he elects to come back, because he could always leave, and then that's done. So it's officially Shire's program versus Hubert Davis's program now?
I mean, it depends on, if R.J. Davis comes back or not.
That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is John Shire is in danger of falling into the same situation that he fell into last year, but reversed. If Jeremy Roach doesn't come back, they have essentially two ball handlers, two guys that can be primary ball handlers, Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster, who both announced they're coming back. They'll have a billion small forwards who are 6'8 to 6'7 to 6'10 and like to have the ball in the hands on the half court and run in transition, but aren't really the main primary ball handlers. And they have a couple bigs, and they're looking for more bigs. You need some perimeter guys. Last year, they had the perimeter guys. They needed the bigs. Now it looks like they're overcorrecting and maybe didn't do enough to convince Jeremy Roach to come back, or maybe didn't recruit enough point guards and combo guards. I read it the other day. Here, the six-man recruiting class by Duke, the incoming freshman, small forward, small forward, small forward, small forward, center, center. That's their incoming recruiting class. I don't think it's crazy for me to tell you that's a very condensed in one position group. Do you trust Cooper Flagg to play the two? Do you trust Cooper Flagg to play the shooting guard? Because unless you're playing Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster 38 minutes a game, somebody is going to have to be able to bring the ball up other than those two. Somebody is going to have to be able to break the press with a weak press with the dribble other than those two. Now, the reason why I say they're in danger of falling into the same situation where they're not diversified in their positions is because there's still the transfer portal going on. Maybe the Jeremy Roach decision did catch them off guard, and now they're going to go play the portal game to bring in another. That's possible, right? There are players like, to use their cross-triangle rivals, Cormac Ryan or Michael O'Connell in the portal every year that they can go grab. But, man, doesn't it just seem easier to recruit a team rather than recruit the best players? Seems like Duke is just absolutely, draining themselves, going out trying to get, and it sounds ridiculous to even say out loud that this might not be the best way, but they're absolutely draining themselves with the effort to go out and get as many top 20 recruits in the country. And I'm going, look at the best recruiting classes in Duke history. Sure, they were top-rated recruits, but you know what else they were? Traditionally, a ball handler, a wing, and a big, and a little bit of each. Right? It's Tyus Jones, it's Justice Winslow, it's Jahlil Okafor. You got to find the ones that have a little bit of both. It's John Shire, it's Nolan Smith, it's Kyle Singler. A little bit of everything. Last year, Duke didn't have enough bigs. They had Kyle Filipowski, and they asked him to do everything. He had to protect the rim. He had to rebound. He had to defend the other team's best big. He had to score in the post. He had to stretch to the perimeter. He had to do everything that anyone over 7 feet was asked to do because he was the only one that was anywhere over 7 feet. And 6'10 would have worked too.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Young, 6'10. Mark Mitchell was 6'9.
Mark Mitchell, he's not coming back, by the way.
Yeah.
But couldn't do a lot of those things either. He was a 6'9, but not a true big 6'9. Right? You're not asking. He wasn't a great rim protector. Kyle Filipowski wasn't either, but he had to be. Next year, it's going to be like Tyrese Proctor, Caleb Foster. They're going to be asked to do everything on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask to shoot to space the floor for all the crashers and slashers. They're going to be asked to bring the ball up against the press. They're going to be asked to guard the opposing team's best perimeter threats. They're going to be asked to be the pressure on ball when you want to disrupt another team's timing. They're going to be asked to be the veteran presence calming everybody down. They're going to be asked to do everything. Again, I say they're in danger of this happening because the portal is still open and maybe they go solve it. But unless you're, you know, Evans, who's a rookie coming in, Harris, rookie, freshman.
Yeah.
Harris, Evans, these guys, unless you're just saying they have some level of, you know, 6'5 plus point guard ability in their arsenal that hasn't been described in any of their recruiting rankings or anything. This Jeremy Roach leaving deal is going to hurt in a lot of different ways.
I think it puts a little bit more pressure on Tyrese Proctor because guess what? Tyrese Proctor is like, you're the old guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tyrese Proctor's the old guy.
Barring then bringing, he's the old guy at Duke because they might bring in a junior.
Yeah, he's the old guy. They might bring in like a transfer that's a graduate.
Yes.
But he's the old guy now. Mm-hmm. Like he's the vet,
mm-hmm.
which is wild to think about.
I mean, he's a legit junior. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a junior kind of being the vet in your rotation,
sure.
But it puts more pressure on him in addition to the pressure that's put on him simply by the way the team is put together.
Yeah.
Who's going to be responsible for getting Cooper Flagg the ball in scoring positions? Who's going to be responsible for getting the ball to Malawash down low? Who's going to be responsible for getting Caleb Foster going? Tyrese Proctor. And be the veteran. And be a defender. Jeremy Roach leaving is I think, a call to the portal by Duke. Get yourself a veteran point guard in addition to a veteran big. And you're Duke, so you should be shopping in the top shelf of the portal.
Oh, easily.
Look in the top 15 guys available. The University of North Carolina men's basketball program is missing something that I thought they would never go without. NBA stars. I had like a realization yesterday. So I'm on Twitter, right? Scrolling. I was actually on the exercise bike. Shout out to me, huh?
Hey.
Watching the Canes game.
Okay.
Little break in the action. I'm scrolling on my phone.
Okay.
And I see North Carolina posted a graphic. So the UNC basketball team posted a graphic cheering on their players in the NBA playoffs. You know, good luck to our guys in the playoffs. And in the graphic, I was like, all right, let me see what they're working with. A lot of schools do this, by the way. Not breaking, you know, they're not, you know, breaking some kind of new trend. And I looked at it and I went, that's it? Because you'd think, like, North Carolina NBA playoffs, like, how many all-stars? You think, like, how many contenders are depending on a big performance from a Tar Heel?
Massive starters.
This is the entire group in the picture. Kobe White.
Okay.
Harrison Barnes,
okay.
Pete Nance, Nasir Little, and Cole Anthony. It was kind of jarring. I was going like, even though I was looking at it on my phone, I like flipped the phone over to see if there was anyone on the back, right? Like, where's the rest of this? Do I have to scroll?
Is there a thread? Is like, where is this one of three?
Yeah. It was jarring. And by the way, you know, again, weirdly, backhanded compliment for North Carolina. I expected there to be a lot more. So what did I do next? I was like, wow, maybe it was just a bad team year. All the stars from Carolina must be on teams that didn't make the playoffs. So I went online and I Googled NBA players from UNC. These are the players that were not in the playoffs. Reggie Bullock, Leaky Black, Cam Johnson, Walker Kessler, and Dayron Sharp.
Kessler didn't even finish his collegiate career at the University of North Carolina. He transferred to Auburn.
And he's probably the best of the bunch.
He's pretty good.
So I started having this thought. What happened to Vince Carter and Antoine Jameson and Rasheed Wallace?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even like peak Harrison Barnes, because Harrison Barnes isn't what Harrison Barnes once was. Like lineup of death with the Golden State Warriors, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. Like early in the Warriors' run of championships, Harrison Barnes was a starter, massive contributor for that team.
Where's Danny Green? I'm not asking for like, you don't have to be a two-time MVP. I'm going like, where's the starter on a championship like a favorite? There is social currency among having those players. And social currency is important right now because like there's this whole NIL thing in the transfer world, right? Guys are going to the highest bidder. It's a pretty baller statement to go, you can go there and get 100 grand more, or you could come here and be set up to make 100 million in the NBA, which, by the way, Danny Green did. Danny Green made $100 million. Harrison Barnes, over $100 million. So there is something to be said for it. Yeah, you could go chase every single NIL check and go be, you know, big fish, small pond somewhere where they max out all their budgets to get you 150 grand more than you'd make here. Or you could come here, make what we can pay you, what our NIL can support you with, and we'll set you up to go to the NBA and have a 15-year career and make more money than you know what to do with. And I hate to say this, North Carolina fans, because now, right, I don't know if anyone else does this, right? I'm on the exercise bike. I'm to the point where now my brain is just cranking, and I'm just thinking. My entire life until I don't know when it changed, this is a role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be North Carolina had all the pros and Duke had all the, oh, well, he was a good college player. A lot of patting on the head, like, oh, he's a good college player. Right? And then North Carolina went on to have, like, if I was in middle school and somebody said you were going to take all the NBA players from North Carolina and all the NBA players from Duke and they were going to play pickup, it would have been laughable. You would have said North Carolina is going to win by a billion. If you were to do that right now, who's guarding Tatum? Who's guarding Paolo Banchero? Who's guarding Kyrie? Who's guarding Brandon Ingram?
Guard and Zion.
Who's guarding Zion? Who's guarding RJ Barrett? Like it's now a wash in the other direction. So you darn sure know what Duke's saying in those recruiting battles. Yeah, you might be able to go somewhere else, get a little bit more NIL money. I don't think you could, but maybe you could. But what I do know is we got a whole list of people that are on track to make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in the NBA that developed for, you know, between 4 and 20 months in Durham. And who's going to be the number one pick in next year's draft? Everybody thinks Cooper Flagg. Who's going to be a top three pick? Everybody thinks Kamen Maluash. North Carolina needs to find a way to get more NBA player production. And I don't know if it's a recruiting thing. Like, you're North Carolina. I have to believe you're choosing the players you're bringing in. Like, you're bringing in some
you're
names.
North Carolina.
Yeah. Like, I
you're North Carolina.
I was going to try to explain what that meant. I don't think it needs to be explained.
That is the explanation.
You're North Carolina.
That's the explanation. You're UNC.
You know what I want? I want, because Jerry Stackhouse just lost his job, right?
He was at Vanderbilt, the head coach there.
I want him as the number one assistant, however much it costs on Hubert Davis's staff. And I want him to bring some of that swag back. And I want him to recruit people with the goal of, I'm going to show you how to be a pro. Hubert's going to show you how to win in college because that is the main goal. That is still the number one goal of a college program.
Oh, yes.
Hubert's going to show you how to win in college. I'm going to show you what it takes to be an all-star in the league. And then when all that is said and done, you're going to win in college, you're going to go to the league, you're going to be an all-star, and you're going to remember who had this conversation with you, and you're going to turn around and donate to our NIL collective. That's the conveyor belt, the cycle you need to start. I mean, make no mistake, like, if you watch Duke, every single time they get a commitment and there's that weird portion where you get a verbal commitment from a recruit, but you can't mention their name publicly because they haven't signed yet, they post that video of all of the current NBA players saying another one, and it's Kyrie and it's Tatum and it's Zion, and they're not fools about it. And by the way, UNC wasn't fools about it when they had the lead either. Like, that is something you need to get the pipeline cranking back up again. You can love Armando Bacot, and you should love Armando Bacot. There's a reason why he played 5 years in college. It's because he was probably never a lottery pick.